This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Jennifer Bowers from the US. Jennifer, also named Shay Love as her radio name, is also having a podcast called Being from Atlanta to Auckland, where she is sharing her beautiful story of moving overseas. And I'm very grateful that she's here today to, tell us how beautiful her journey was. So welcome, Jennifer. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited to be chatting with you.
Yay, me too. I already had the honor to meet you offline, and we also already had the chance to chat a bit about your life, and I just think it's such an inspiring story, so I really can't wait to share it with the world as well. And I hope, of course, that everyone will jump onto your podcast show, and it just recently dropped the first episode. And actually, I listened to it because I wanted to know a bit more about you first. So do you mind telling us a little bit about how the life looked like in the US that you left behind before you decided to move countries?
Yeah, well, life for me in the US was pretty busy. I mean, I was a on-air radio and television personality. I also was a executive for different nonprofit organizations in Atlanta. And so a lot of movement, a lot of things pertaining to kind of my career. I also have a family in Atlanta, of course, lots of friends. And so really just in a place of, you know, certainly comfort and enjoyment, very lots of interesting things to do throughout the course of the week and really just throughout the course of my experience there, but sort of reached a point where I was excited and eager for something a little bit different. And so that's what kind of led me to explore the journey of considering relocating. And here I am.
And that's awesome, because otherwise we probably wouldn't have met. So it's very cool. And what I found so inspiring about your journey and the beginnings especially was the whole process of from when you thought of it with moving potentially and having a change and then executing it. This process was really inspiring also because of the way you did it. And it's so nicely explained in your first episode where you came together with your cousin and you kind of hold each other accountable for whatever happened next. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that? Like kind of your first episode in a tiny summary, because this is a part I feel like a lot of people could learn from, because I think a lot of people crave change and they have no idea how to go about it. And I think the way you guys did it was such a beautiful way. So I would love you to just share that with us.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to share. Well, we both had reached kind of a point in our lives, which was really around 2023, where we wanted to just see a big, bold, audacious change in the way in which we were living. And we had both talked about different things that we were interested in doing and excited about doing. And just, we talked about it, but never actually activated it. And so one day we were talking about what we imagined and we made a pact. We said that we were going to meet every Monday at 9 a.m. for just 1 hour. And we were going to focus very specifically and only on activating some of the goals that we had talked about. And so one part of this was, you know, one, identifying specific actions toward that goal, but we only had a week to accomplish one specific action. And they were big actions, like big kind of uncomfortable actions that we had to take. And so like one example was, you know, we wanted to eliminate debt as an example. And in doing that, we said, like, 1 week for me, it was eliminate that specific credit card, figure out how to basically pay off that credit card in a week. And what was really interesting is where you focus when you have to focus, and how you focus, and how resourceful and creative and energetic you are around accomplishing something when you're just focused on one big thing, right? And so we started doing that pretty consistently. And what we both discovered is this kind of muscle that you build from pushing yourself, but also from consistently doing it in a way that is more focused on creativity and, you know, imagination than fear. And so that's kind of where we started, and certainly how I've kind of got to this point.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I loved about it so much, is you don't always just have to use it for big life decisions like moving countries. You can use it for little steps. You can use it for things that seem so big in your mind, but then when you break it down, it's like a small piece, and then you accomplish that, and then you move on to the next thing. And as you said, you find new ways and possibilities of doing what you thought would be so much harder or impossible even. Yes. And like for a lot of people, of course, depends on the debt on the credit card, but that seems like, wow, within 1 week finding a way, like, Am I going on the street and hope people will help me? That's not the case. So
I think that's the thing, is that, you know, and I like to be really clear about that, is that we, you know, even when I say that, and I say that for a reason, because I use that as an example for a reason, because it can feel daunting. But the thing is if you think about, like, breaking down what feels big, it actually is attainable, you know? And there are some, like, for example, in my particular instance, you know, with the credit card, it was a certain amount that not only was it pushing me to do, but it was feasible for me to accomplish, right? Maybe if it was a larger amount, it might have been a situation where we might say, in next week, you pay this amount, right? And then the following week, you pay this amount. So it's kind of like, really, the only thing that we focused on was not what potentially the obstacle would be, but what would be uncomfortably attainable to help move our vision forward, right? And so I think, you know, things like that, like, just as you're thinking about what is possible, everything's possible, and people get really, they get very creative, you know, like, I don't know. There are just so many instances where I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even know I had that, or I wasn't even using it, or I wasn't even thinking about it that way. And so it's also kind of about creativity.
I honestly think just your guys catch up every Monday could have been a show. Like, okay, what's next? And then people would
Yes.
watch it. I would be so keen on seeing, okay, what goal have you set next? And then will you achieve it? And then how do you achieve it? So that's amazing. And I love that idea. And I think a lot of people are forgetting to make it achievable so that you also have like a little satisfaction and like a success, because otherwise you are easily giving up, right? That's pretty much what you also said, to make it big enough to be uncomfortable, but so that it's realistic for you to find a way to achieve it as well.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
So once you had that meeting every Monday, how did this idea of actually leaving the US and moving specifically to Auckland came about? What was that kind of thought process?
Well, so I actually, that was one of the things that I had imagined, was that I'd like to at least see what New Zealand is like, because before that moment, I'd never been to New Zealand. And so one of my actual tasks for one of our Growth Hour meetings was, this week, buy a ticket, right? And it wasn't, it didn't matter when I purchased the ticket, what date I purchased it for. The purpose of it was for me to actually go to the country and see if it's a place that I might like to experience and perhaps live. And so that was kind of the first step to discovering whether or not New Zealand made sense for me. And so I bought a ticket for in January, I think, of 2024. And it was so funny because also during that time period, that year, I had been reading this book by Brianna Weiss called 1001 Ways to Think Differently. And in her book, she talks about a routinely unroutine thing that you could just do in your life to shift things, to make it more interesting and dynamic. And so the routine for me was traveling once a month. And the unroutine was where I would travel. And every trip didn't have to be someplace extravagant. It could be, you know, perhaps going to another city that I could drive to. It might be a flight that's 2 hours. But wherever whatever the case was, the idea was to actually experience something new every month. And so one of my friends, she said to me, "Hey, Jennifer, you know what? The next time you take one of these trips, I'd love to come with you." And so she's also that friend that is like, she just, I call her the ride or live friend. She will literally just be like, "Okay, let's go."
Nice.
And so I sent her a text message and I was like, "Hey, listen, I'm doing my routinely unroutine trip. I'm going to New Zealand. Do you want to come with me?" And in an hour, she was like, "Yeah." And I got my ticket. So she joined me. And, you know, really the beautiful thing about her joining me in particular is, I would say that I am I'm very spontaneous. I'm very like fly by the seat of my pants. I am happy, you know, to wake up in the morning and be like, "Oh, I think I'm going to do this today." And she has a bit more structure to the way that she moves. And her structure really brought such beauty and significance to the way we experience New Zealand. You know, she had this amazing spreadsheet and I didn't have a spreadsheet. So anyway, that's what really sort of led to really such a rich experience when we did come in January.
Yeah. And do you think your way of seeing New Zealand would have been different and maybe not let you to live here if your friend wouldn't have been with you?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I think yes. You know, because it was so funny. We were really sort of thinking about all the places we wanted to see, you know. And one of the things that she wanted to see was a glacier. And she was like, you know, we're on this side of the world. We need to see that. And I was so focused on getting to Auckland that I didn't even consider all of the wonderful possibilities that existed in the South Island, that we visited Wellington. You know, I wasn't even thinking about that. And so, I don't think so. I think she really helped expand, you know, what kind of experience we had. And it was so funny because at one moment she was like, you know, we have to buy a plane tickets to go there, right? Like, it's not like you do. You can't just wake up the next morning and like, just go. Although I probably would have done that. But anyway, you know, it was really wonderful to have her perspective. And I think also that was another lesson that I learned is that, you know, whenever you're growing, it is always really beautiful to have other people be part of that growth because they sort of add things to what you're experiencing that maybe you never considered. And so, I think it would have been a different trip had she not joined me.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Maybe she added the whole beauty of the country to the trip while you might have not been to certain places, and then you would never think, okay, this is the place for me because it has everything and all these beautiful things. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
How has it been for you to actually leave everything behind? And also because your kids are still in the US, like you have a family that you are still having over there. How is that for you as a mom being so far away from your kids?
You know, actually, I mean, I think what's been really interesting about this experience is one, I mean, it's been a conversation for quite some time, so it's been no surprise, you know. And it also, I have children that are a bit older, so it also has really sharpened their level of independence as well, which has been really beautiful. Just sort of seeing how, you know, I will admit I am that mom that's like, I'm in it, you know, I'm showing up for all the things, I am at everything, I'm talking to the teachers, even in high school, you know? And so I think that there is a level of independence that they are able to experience just by me not being so hands-on. And it's also helped me not be so hands-on. I mean, then that's not to say that I'm not involved and engaged in the ways in which I can be, but I think there's been some beauty that's actually come from that, you know? And then, you know, my daughter and I, we have these little funny calls where we video chat and just catch up. And it's just, it's so cute and so fun. And it just, it's actually deepened and sharpened our relationship in a way that is kind of special, you know, it's different. And then she also had an opportunity to come here and spend some time and experience a new country as well. And I think that's also really important to think about, you know, being what it is like to experience different places around the world. You know, I think sometimes we get comfortable in what feels like home that we miss, you know, the opportunity to experience something new and to expand our territory. And so,
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I remember you were saying before as well that you also want your children to have like another place in the world that they could call home, which like was really beautiful as well. Yeah, and when you say about the calls with your daughter, I remember like, I think I see my mom more often over the phone with video calls, then she actually sees my brother in person who lives over there. So we also built this connection where we just talk about everything. We send photos of everything and we just have our video chats and connect in a level. Of course, she would prefer me being there. I know that.
Yeah.
But I think she also understands that with the technology we have these days, that I'm actually very present. I know what's going on in her life, and mm-hmm. she knows what's going on in my life, and we actually see each other, even though it's yeah. not always in person. And it never feels like as if we wouldn't see each other for like a couple of years. So
yeah,
that's really, okay. really cool. Yeah.
That is cool. And you know, I think, you know, especially it is also like after COVID, I think that also taught us to be more creative about how we communicate with each other. You know, that there yeah. are many, many ways now to still stay connected and still stay present. And, you know, yeah, so I think just even in hearing about your experience with your mom, it's possible. There is nothing like a hug, you know, hugging your kid, hugging your mom, you know, but yeah. it also is, it also makes you more creative about how you stay connected. So.
Absolutely. And you have an opportunity to connect on a different level as well. I believe that yeah. too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for you coming to New Zealand, mm-hmm. what were your hopes? What were you hoping to find, or what were you looking for, or still you are looking for?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I don't know that I'm looking for something. I think I am answering a whisper. You know, I literally, you know how seeds are just kind of planted in your mind about things that you want to do. And we're sort of tasked to experience it, to see what it is that I'm looking for, you know? And so for me, it was actually, I read this article in 2016 in the Wall Street Journal. It happened to be about American tech executives that were moving to New Zealand to purchase land. And it wasn't so much about them purchasing land. It was more about New Zealand. You know, it was not a country that had ever been on my radar before. And for some reason, that just kind of, it intrigued me. And so during that period of time, I started doing a little bit of research. I, you know, really became fascinated by just the natural beauty of the country and the culture of the country. In some ways, it actually reminded me of my home, which is Albuquerque, New Mexico in the States. And it just felt like, wow, I love nature. I love hiking. I love, you know, being outdoors. And so there were just so many things that kind of pulled me. And yeah. I think that seed planted, it started growing. And so when we started talking about like, what is the most audacious thing that you could do? For me, this was it. You know, this was like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to see why the seed has been planted with me and discover it. And so really, I think initially it was just, you know, determining or figuring out what is this country like, you know?
Yeah.
And it happens that when I did do that, like it sort of also, then it just started screaming at me. It was like, oh, this feels like home. So, I can relate to that. Yes, that's right.
Now, how long have you been here already?
Well, let's see. I've been kind of off and on because I'm still sort of navigating the process. So I'm really just kind of exploring, just visiting, kind of getting a sense for what this space is like. So I've been here since the beginning of February.
Right. Which is not that long. So no. From that time being here, what would you think you have discovered? And I ask both questions at the same time. You can decide which one you want to answer first.
Yeah.
Which part would you think is kind of like the ugly truth of moving to a country that is not your home country? Mm-hmm. And then which part was so far for you the most beautiful to explore?
I think, you know, when you say maybe ugly truth, I guess one thing that I, and I don't even know that it's ugly, but it's just, something that you have to really think about, and that is distance. You know, that there is something about having the capacity to, you know, like living in the States, if I wanted to go home and see my parents, it's 2 hours, you know. If I wanted to go home and see my parents, it's, you know, 14 hours, you know. Yes. And so it's thinking about something like that is certainly, you know, that is the truth, you know, that is the truth about this feeling of longing for something that feels like home when you haven't built a home yet. Do you know what I mean? So, and I also am a very, I love people and I love my family and friends and I love having them around me and having them sort of near. And so this has also been, if I were to say kind of what would feel like an ugly truth is really having to navigate something new fully, you know, without the crutch of being able to, oh, you know, I'm just going to fly home. You know, it doesn't work that way exactly. I mean, I could, but I think there's also me building that muscle of strength in that way too. So I think that's one thing. I think one thing that's really beautiful is there is something so, I love the sort of the richness of all the various cultures that reside here in Auckland in particular. And, you know, just the way that as the ugly truth is sort of this feeling of loneliness and wanting to be connected to community in a certain way, it also is the openness to build that community too, is what I've experienced, you know? And so I think they kind of balance each other out a little bit, you know? It has been really nice to meet so many different people. And also meet people in kind of a very rich way, you know, in a very deep way. Like I just found the conversations and the connections to be very meaningful. And so that's what's been lovely.
I really love how you say it, because especially they are quite like both sides belong together, because it's about connection and loneliness and distance and building something so that the distance isn't there anymore. Yeah. But I can remember right in the beginning, it was mid-2019, I kind of have started settling a bit, but it was still new. Mm-hmm. And I went through a real rough patch, and I remember all I wanted was my family, my friends from home. And that was the hardest time, because as you said, I just decided to jump on a plane and go literally to the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. And what I forgot about it was the distance.
Yeah.
And I just ignored the fact that if I really need to go home, to book a flight and to then actually be on a flight, it's more than 24 hours to get there. It's like 2 days for me to even be there. And I just experienced it a few years after when my aunt passed away, and I just booked a flight for the month afterwards. And I just couldn't make it in time because she just couldn't hold on to it any longer. She was very sick, and the distance felt so unbelievable. Like it was just there. But then, as you said, building a new family here with new friends and all the community, so many people from overseas that also look for community and like to belong.
Sure. Yeah, and that's right.
That's very beautiful. And at that time when my aunt passed away, I already built like a little group of friends and called it my little family here. And that helped a lot, because it was really hard to be so far away from my actual family. So I feel you a lot on both ways. Like it's to be open for new communities, new people, and still being aware. It's a long way to go back home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I think, you know, this guy on Instagram, he was talking about how a plant grows. And he was talking about how, you know, the roots, it's uncomfortable for the plant to plant roots. And it's also blooming. So it's actually growing in both directions. It's planting itself and it's also blooming. And, you know, even the discomfort of having to kind of plant roots and dig through, you know, the soil and all this kind of stuff, it's kind of the experience of moving like this, you know, like there are things that are uncomfortable about growth, but even in that discomfort, you are building a strong foundation and really a muscle to manage through something that maybe you hadn't had an opportunity to manage through before. And then, you know, on the top end, you're blooming, you know, you're growing in this other really beautiful, profound way. And so, yeah, I think it's kind of part of the overall experience, you know, of growth, quite frankly. Yeah,
well said, because I guess growth can't happen if we stay in our comfort zone, and that's just how it is. And we kind of determine how fast we grow and if we grow and how uncomfortable it can get. But in the end, no one ever said, I grew so much by staying exactly where they were. It's so true. And since we talked about connection, I thought to, near the end, bring up a really fun topic called dating.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I thought, you know, what are the main differences you have actually experienced already between the culture of dating in the US and here in New Zealand?
That's a good question. Well, I think, probably the one that stands out to me the most is I think there's just a different level of just respect, you know, it's a different kind of way in which, from what I can see, women and men kind of engage with each other, right? There seems to me, in my experience, has been kind of a different level of respect. I think also what I've observed is that men here are a bit more reserved, you know, so you're not always as clear, which, you know, that's different. And I think what else has been unique? Well, one thing that struck me initially was I love this idea of like, hey, would you like to join me for a walk or go for a coffee? You know, because a lot of things in the States are centered around drinking. Hey, I'll meet you out for a drink or I'll meet you out for dinner. So, you know, it's already kind of like this really deep commitment.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, coffee and a walk feels good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would say those are some of the things that stand out.
Especially when you say for a walk, I started loving it. Even with my friends, I'm like, shall we just, you know, meet up for a little walk? It's so normal. And even with dates, it's like, okay, let's just meet somewhere where we are both safe.
Yes, and that's great.
Yeah. And then you can actually have a conversation. You don't think about how can I get drunk quickly? Nothing like
that. It's
like really assessing how the other person is. And I love that. So
there is something special about walking and just talking, you know, and you're right. Like when you have a drink, it's like your other person shows up or whatever makes you feel less nervous is showing up versus just a coffee and a walk, you know? So I've enjoyed that.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, I think there's something, as you said, like a dinner is so committed in terms of you go out, then you kind of feel like, okay, it's already awkward because you don't know each other, and then you eat in front of each other, then you have that weird silence of who's taking the bill, what happens after that? Are you coming to me? Are we going for a drink after? Is this the end?
That's right. That
Yeah, I
is very
feel
true. Yeah. I did have an experience where I had a meal and it was a coursed meal and it was many
Oh.
courses. Yeah. It was
Wow.
a
A big commitment.
big commitment. So I'm like, I like coffees
So, can I hear out of that that you would have loved to just get the coffee in that moment?
I think coffee would have been nice.
I understand. That's nice. Yeah. I'm really grateful that you shared a bit of that as well. I know it's very personal, so I'm happy that you were just having a little bit of the fun bits, and I don't want to dive too deep into it. But I usually end the episode with like quick three questions, which is just like answered relatively short in one word, one sentence type of answers. And it's, yeah, just to kind of sum up a nice episode. So, what have you noticed that you missed the most from Atlanta or the US in general since you are over here?
What have I missed the most? I mean, I mean, I honestly feel obligated to have an answer. Okay, I miss my favorite store, which is the store called Anthropologie. I miss that
Oh,
so
okay.
much. Yes.
And what would you get in that store?
Oh my gosh, just really, oh, it's so beautiful. It's got so I love color. I love, vibrant, just things that make me feel alive, and it's a store that like you walk inside of it and it sort of heightens every one of your senses, like your sight, your smell, well, they don't have food, so not taste, but just all of your other senses. And I just love the vibrancy of the clothing and the smell of the candles and the music playing. So I'd say that's something that I look forward to going to. And okay, I don't, I'm saying that, knowing that obviously missing my friends and my family is like number one. I'm saying like just, our little creature comforts are the things that we kind of miss.
Yeah, of course. And who knows? I hope that maybe you find like a little nice, cute store that has a little bit of what you were used to, and you can feel just like home as well.
Yes, that's right.
All right, question number two. What advice would you give someone who is in the middle of these, changes happening, not really sure where to go, what to do, maybe already thinking of moving countries, but still not sure. Is there any advice you would give them?
Yeah, I would say just move, just take a step, and the step can be a small step. It could be making a phone call. It could be looking at a website. It could be having a conversation. Just actually take a step because I guess one thing that I discovered in this experience has been, each step leads you to the next step. And somehow, once you get to the next step, what to do to take the next step, but without movement, you're not able to witness or experience what the next step's going to be. So I would just say, just move, just take a step.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. So,
Sure.
last question. Is there anyone you could think of that you think should be on the show and share their story of moving or traveling the world, having a great experience overseas? Is there anyone that comes to your mind that you would suggest?
Yeah, well, actually, one of my friends who I've, well, actually, now I have like two people, but one of my friends in particular, I think she would be lovely in describing and explaining kind of what her experience has been like, specifically moving here. And her name's Amina, and she's just vibrant. She's just a beautiful light. And I think she would be able to, would just be able to share kind of what her experience and transition has been like as well.
Nice. Thank you so much. So yeah. Jennifer, it has been amazing to have you on. You are such a light already. I think everyone can see with your big smile and you just radiate happiness.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just so grateful that you were sharing your story. And you never know. I feel like even the process of how you did it is so inspiring that I can imagine someone might be able to use that as a tool as well. So hopefully someone can learn something from it. And thank you so much for your time and for being here. And yeah, just that you shared so vulnerably as well.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. And I've enjoyed this conversation. So much fun. So thanks for having me.
Thanks. So, and I hope everyone who is listening or watching is enjoying it as much as we did. And I hope I see you next time. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.